Now, we're going to start today's show by talking about a subject that we don't really touch on all that often, and yet it's a subject that all of us, I think, can identify with and all of us will have an experience of. I'm talking about friendship. Now, from the time you're small right up to adulthood, various people will come and go from your life. You'll have work colleagues that become close friends. You'll have people you went to college with that become close friends. Neighbours who become close friends. But for whatever reason, some friendships last the distance and others don't. And I think all of you listening this afternoon, at one point in your life, you will have had a friendship that's just no longer serving you. Maybe it's somebody who was always putting you down, was always jealous of you, somebody who couldn't keep your secrets, was always breaking your confidence, or maybe somebody that was constantly causing drama in your life. And it can be very, very difficult to get rid of these toxic friendships out of your life. For whatever reason, we tend to hold on to these friendships, whether it's through guilt or for other reasons. And to chat to us a little bit more about that, I'm delighted to welcome Fiona O'Malley, who is CEO of the organisation Turn To Me, who joins us on the line. Fiona, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And just briefly, you might explain to people what Turn To Me is, just for those who aren't familiar with it, before we get down to talking about friendships.
Yeah, absolutely. Turn To Me is a national mental health charity, and we offer up to 6 free counselling sessions to adults living in Ireland. We operate all our services, including our counselling sessions and our support groups, online, which means that anyone on the island of Ireland can access our services. And as I say, we do offer up to 6 free counselling sessions to adults living in Ireland. We run 365 days a year, including on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and it's a phenomenal service, in fairness. And I know we've spoken to you before about the wonderful work you do. But let's just talk a little bit about friendships. And The first thing we should say is that not every friendship is for life. And most of us will have people who were huge in our lives at one point, and we grow apart for whatever reason. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we just outgrow certain friendships, or sometimes, you know, these friendships kind of are not meant to last. Sometimes they're, you know, fulfilling in a certain period of our life. But as you say, not all friendships are meant to be long term. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes they can outgrow you. Sometimes you can outgrow them. But there is a difference between, I suppose, recognizing when it's a kind of a normal argument or kind of normal disagreements in friendships, or when that friendship turns toxic, which is not obviously not a good thing.
Yeah. And how would you know if you were in a toxic friendship?
So there are a few, I suppose, different telltale signs. One of the things that we get people to reflect on is if the relationship feels one-sided. So what that means is that, you know, you're always the one giving them, whether it's, you know, your time, your energy, if you have to call over to them regularly, and you're always there for them. And then you kind of pause to think, gosh, I can't actually remember the last time it was, you know, reciprocated. If you're always the one giving emotional support without receiving the same in return, the imbalance can become quite unhealthy. Friendships should always feel two-sided and reciprocal, not draining. The second, I suppose, red flag is if they belittle you or undermine you. This is constant criticism, teasing that goes a little bit too far, undermining you in front of others, or subtle jabs at your achievements that can chip away at your confidence. Friends should lift you up, not ever tear you down. The third red flag to look out for is if you feel anxious or guilty after interacting with them. If conversations leave you feeling like you're judged, like you're on edge or guilty, even when you've done nothing wrong, it might be a sign of emotional manipulation or unhealthy dynamics at play in the friendship. The fourth red flag is if they disrespect your boundaries, whether that's pushing you into uncomfortable situations, demanding constant access to your time, or ignoring any of your needs. Boundary violations are a major red flag. And then, as you say, if the friendship is full of drama or conflict, this is constant arguments, jealousy, competitiveness, or chaotic behaviour, that can take a toll on your mental well-being. And healthy friendships are stable, they're not turbulent. And the sixth red flag is if they break your trust repeatedly. Now, it's one thing for someone once off to let something slip and then think, oh gosh, sorry, I wasn't meant to say that to anyone. But if they kind of, there's a difference between that, like someone, you know, letting letting something slip once off, or and them constantly gossiping about you behind your back, or telling people secrets you told them in confidence, or if they lie about you to others, that's a huge red flag. And as I said, unfortunately, some friendships do just run their course. But sometimes we can feel obliged to stay in these friendships, especially long-term ones or childhood friends. If the friendship, you know, is also part of a wider group, we might not want to cause drama or risk losing the whole group of friends if we confront these difficulties. However, these toxic friendships can cause us damage in the long run. So if you can't cut this person out of your life entirely, consider reducing the time you spend with them and making up excuses to kind of avoid them.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if you were in any other kind of a relationship, we'll say a romantic relationship, you were going out with somebody, and if they were constantly putting you down or breaking your confidence or causing drama, you'd end the relationship. And the funny thing is that we're all quite straightforward when it comes to getting out of a romantic relationship that goes bad, but we kind of tend to hang on to toxic friendships, friend relationships, indefinitely, even if that person is no longer, you know, serving you. Serving you is the wrong way of putting it. But if the friendship is no longer working, women in particular, we tend to hang in there for dear life for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose there's a mixture of a sense of loyalty or a mixture of a sense of like nostalgia. Oh, we shared all these moments together, or they were there for me when we were in college, or we had so much fun. But really, when you kind of pull away from these toxic friends, you realise that it's probably for the best, even though it can be, you know, quite a difficult situation, certainly initially. So one of the things that we always encourage people to do and to consider is if the friendship, if they make you happy, and if not, then you know, you kind of really have to reconsider what's the purpose of the friendship. If they're causing you constant stress, if they're causing you constant drama, what's the purpose of that friendship?
Yeah, and it was like you said it yourself, some friendships just run their course. I mean, you could be very close to somebody in primary school and secondary school, and then your lives go in completely different directions and you don't have anything in common anymore. That happens too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose some people might just feel, you know, same as if they almost consider these people like, you know, family, and you know, there is kind of a sense of loyalty sometimes when we have these long-term friends. But as you say, if you've nothing in common with them anymore, you've outgrown them, they've outgrown you, you've become very different people, then there's no shame in kind of reconsidering a friendship and considering, are there better suited friends for me out there? And you know, you don't have to switch everything off very, very dramatically. If you're kind of a little bit nervous about ending a friendship, you can do it gradually and see what the impact is. Do you feel better? Do you feel lighter when you spend less time with this person? And if so, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I think, would you agree as well, Fiona, that men and women handle friendships differently? I think with men, they don't need as much maintenance. You know, you'd meet two lads and they played football together 30 years ago. And they mightn't see each other from one end of the year to the next, but then they'll stop in the street and go for a pint and pick up where they left off. But with women, it's more complicated. It's kind of, you know, I'm always ringing you, you never ring me, you forgot my birthday last year, you know, silly things like that. Do you think the two sexes handle friendship in a completely different way?
I think so. I think the women might have more emotive needs in friendships than men do, and as you say, men can kind of pick up where they left off easier than women. But I think when they talk about male friendships, they say male friendships. When they talk to each other, they talk side by side. So men tend to open up when they're watching, you know, if they're at the side of a football match, whereas women tend to have, you know, deeper conversations. Women, when they talk about women's friendships, they say women's friendships, they talk face to face, whereas men talk, you know, side to side. So whether it's just a fact that men prefer some type of distraction when they're opening up, perhaps that is indicative of the success of the men's sheds project, where they give men, you know, projects to do together as a group, and they find that they tend to open up more when they do have a project to do as part of a team, I guess, whereas women don't need those kind of distractions when it comes to friendships. In fact, I think the opposite. I think women are very confident and happy going, I suppose, quite deep emotionally in a friendship and opening up and having that level of vulnerability, which perhaps men might be a little bit more hesitant to do.
Yeah, this is it, absolutely. A listener's been on, Fiona, and says, I'm going through this at the moment with a friendship group and I'm considering walking away. What's the best way to cut ties but still be able to say hi to them if I meet them in the street? And she says, we're all in our 50s.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's tough, particularly a long-term friendship like that. One of the things that I would do, I certainly wouldn't kind of, if you're going to be seeing these people regularly, I wouldn't cause a big drama or a showdown or anything like that. But I would start pulling yourself away more and more from the friendship group and, you know, making excuses and having distractions, other things going on so that you can't meet up in these social events or these social gatherings. And importantly, I would get a substitute in there very, very quickly. Substitute friendship groups, look at joining a local choir, a local community group, a local volunteering opportunity, local book club, local drama group, anything, because oftentimes one of the reasons people are hesitant to leave long-term friendships, even if they are toxic, is that fear of being alone and that fear of isolation, whereas you won't have that fear or that those doubts at play when you do have other friendship groups that are there to support you.
Yeah, and it can be harder to make friends. I mean, that person who got in touch is in their 50s. I think the older you get, the harder it can be because you're probably not going out socially as much. Or is that a myth? I suppose, you know, you can still make a new circle of friends no matter how old you are.
You absolutely can. I suppose when we're younger, whether it's primary, secondary school or college or even the workplace, our social circles are almost pre-made for us because a lot of our friends and best friends would have been who's in our class or who was in the extracurricular activities. But again, they're almost pre-made social circles. Whereas when you become an adult, it is that little bit harder because you have to go out and push yourself and join those clubs or join choirs or community groups. So it might feel a little bit more difficult, but you can have really, really enriched, deep friendships, certainly when you're older in life, because you can feel more confident. You don't particularly care what other people think as much, and you're more settled into your own personality and who you are and what you're looking for in some type of friendship and support group. So from that perspective, it can be a positive thing, but it certainly can be a little bit more intimidating, I think, the older we get, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose if there's one thing we want people to take away from this conversation, Fiona, it's that, you know, you wouldn't stay in a toxic marriage or an abusive marriage. So don't stay in a friendship that's just doesn't feel right, in a friendship with somebody who's putting you down all the time or making you feel bad about yourself. You got to get out.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And the most important thing is to create those other social circles, those other friendship groups very quickly, and just force yourself, you know, push yourself out of your comfort zone and to make those connections. And it is so much more fulfilling, and it feels so much better to be around people that are positive, people that support you. And then oftentimes when we come out of a toxic friendship, we look back and we think, oh my God, I was blinded by this person. You know, you kind of wonder how you could have stayed in this friendship for so long. I remember I was friends with this girl, you know, years ago when I was much, much younger, in my 20s. And I think I was just dazzled by her because she was so glamorous and so funny. And it's only, you know, myself and my friends, and we're looking back, and she was just so manipulative, a compulsive liar, really, really damaged a lot of our confidence. And always kind of these, like, she would kind of make these, you know, jokes, and, you know, in inverted commas, and they'd always be kind of put downs in front of other people and not make you feel good. But because she was just, you know, so glamorous and so funny, she kind of nearly got away with it for so long. And one of the other red flags I would note, and this is the same thing that we started to notice about this girl, her, all of her friendships had expiry dates, which is never a good sign. Like, if you see someone and they have a new best friend every year, it's probably not a great sign. It probably is indicative that maybe the problem is them as well. So that's probably something else to look out for. But yeah, I suppose one of the things when you come out of these toxic friendships, you look back and you think, God, how could I have done that for so long? But it certainly is for the better. And one of the good things is, once you come out of a toxic friendship, you know, you spot these red flags much more
quickly,
much easier, much more quickly, yeah, in future friendships. So it is a learning curve as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, it's been a really interesting discussion, and we're getting quite a few comments in from listeners who are agreeing with everything you said and sharing their own experiences as well. Fiona, Turn to Me, and that's two with the number two. Turn to Me is the website to look up if anyone wants to find out more or to maybe avail of some of those free counselling sessions. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, turntome.ie. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to talk to you, Fiona. All the best.
See you later. Bye-bye.
That's Fiona O'Malley there, CEO of Turn to Me. And that's turn, the word turn, but two, the number two, and me, capital M for me, .ie, if you want to check it out.